from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. We're going to hit the Colts and the Texans here in like 30 seconds. Joe in Minnesota is a listener. He lives up in Minnesota, listens to the show. We appreciate him. Week 3, the Texans are in Minnesota to face the Vikings, and he says, the wifey got me a C.J. Stroud away jersey for my birthday today to wear to the Vikings game in Week 3. Can I get a Seth C. Payne ding for my wife? Good job.
There you go.
Good job, Joe's wife.
Good job.
Yep.
There was a guy on the YouTube stream yesterday who, it was interesting. I think he must be an Ohio State fan also, but his wife passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, you know, they'd watched C.J. Stroud in college, and it was really special for him. It's really special for him whenever he sees C.J. Stroud play and play well, because he kind of shares that memory with his wife.
Cool.
It was a good reminder for me that how meaningful these things are on a very deep level to lots of people.
A lot of people, man. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. That's a
no
cool
pressure, C.J.
Right.
You're helping one of our beloved listeners keep the memory of his wife alive with your good play, but no pressure.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Don't screw it up, okay?
Yeah.
So the Texans, hey man, we're gonna get a look at them against the Colts in Week 1. This Week 1 game between the Texans and Colts, already super meaningful, like literally from a standings standpoint, there might not be a more meaningful game on the schedule in my mind than at the Colts, because I think the Colts are the second best team in the division. They are our hated rival. You just got done beating them in Indianapolis in Week 18 to get into the playoffs, so it'll be fresh on everybody's mind what it felt like to play there. And if you can win that one, that's a big step up in the division. You've just beat the second best team in the division, and you stole one in their place. Now, the odds makers have this one as basically a coin flipper. I've seen everything from the Texans being a one-point favorite to the Colts being a one-point favorite. It's right there. Should be fun, man.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud has added plenty of juice to this game just via podcasts and interviews that he has done throughout the offseason.
C.J. Stroud, Zaire Franklin, and E.J. Speed, the two Colts linebackers specifically, have been very open about their supposedly friendly beefs. E.J. Speed and C.J. Stroud know each other pretty well. With Zaire Franklin's an old school linebacker who likes to hate his opponent.
Yeah.
So I think with him it's much more real.
Yeah.
I think it's very he'll laugh about it, but it feels real.
I think Speed is a Mulligetta guy, so there's that. They got the same agent.
Yeah.
But DeForest Buckner is who we're talking about, and we'll hear from Franklin in just a second. But the latest one is DeForest Buckner, who is somebody you do not want to make angry. He's a really good football player. He is the Colts Pro Bowl defensive tackle that they traded for a couple of years ago. Got him from the Niners. Been a good trade for the Colts, man. He's been a good player. Kay Adams making her rounds. As we know, she was at Texans camp last week. She was in Colts camp yesterday. and sat down with DeForest Buckner, and they got talking about week one against the Houston Texans.
I definitely think there's some bad blood between the two teams, for sure. You know what I mean? Especially, CJ's been talking a little bit in the offseason. Zaire's been talking a little bit in the offseason. And, you know, at the end of the day, we split. You know what I mean? We won the first one. They won the second one. Obviously, the second one was bigger to get them to the playoffs. And there's definitely some bad blood in the water. So, it's definitely one of those rivalries you got to look out for.
He doesn't say it with as much gusto.
No.
But he is a very good football player. Yeah. That interior defensive line for the Colts is very stout.
Really good.
I've felt as much juice about the Colts as of late, especially because they've got a quarterback sometimes who is in the same draft class as C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson. So the head-to-head matchup between these two, it's got a lot of real juice. It doesn't feel like you're just trying to drum up emotion for it or anything. I think these two teams genuinely are starting to dislike each other.
They do. And they just played in Week 18 last year, so that the end of the year, and the other game was in Week 2 here. That was a game where Anthony Richardson ran wild until he got taken out of the game with a concussion. I look back at the two games last year, Seth, and even though they were just a year ago, like, I don't know how much there is to pull from those two games to allow us to kind of handicap or analyze this game, because when Anthony Richardson ran all over the Texans, that was in Week 2. I feel like the Texans are a very different team defensively, certainly, than they were in Week 2 of last year. And in Week 18, that was a Gardner Minshew joint, you know?
Right, no, okay, but this is... Okay, Sean, all right, this is where it correlates. This is where you got to really just start to wonder, all right, what's the Texans defense going to face? The Texans linebackers were put into a blender with the RPOs. So with Gardner Minshew as the potential running threat, or just with Gardner Minshew making the decisions, even if he wasn't a running threat on some of the stuff over the middle, the linebackers really screwed it up bad.
Yeah.
And it went from early on, they shut some of the pass. They were having a hard time with some of those intermediate throws. They started playing back a little bit and doing a better job with that. And then Jonathan Taylor ran wild.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor had his two best games of the season versus the Texans defense.
Yeah.
So, for me, especially with Christian Harris injured right now, but even after he comes back, they got to be better in that regard. And now you've got Anthony Richardson, who's an extreme running threat. The defense, even though they've added a lot to it, a lot of it comes back down to some of those same linebackers who are on the field versus the Colts in that last game. They got to do a better job this year.
Yeah.
So that's I went back and I watched Anthony Richardson's throws from that game, and I was kind of excited because I'd seen a lot of social media smack talk about how bad a performance it was by him. I was disappointed. It wasn't nearly as bad as the Twitter highlights would have you think they were.
Really?
So there was one potential pick six, but it was because the receiver got hung up on he picked himself. He was whining to the refs afterwards, but the receiver picked himself, and Richardson threw to where he thought the receiver would be. But it was really the receiver's fault on that play. But he had a couple errant, not so accurate throws that looked like, okay, this is the inconsistent Anthony Richardson I want to see. But it wasn't anything that I would say off of his seven snaps that he took looked like, oh, this guy's even worse than he was as a rookie or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you watch Leatu as well.
Yeah.
Do you want
I'm excited about Leatu. Leatu is their pass rusher they drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
The one that Chris Ballard, the GM, was gloating to no end about. Yeah, we got the best pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, because usually the best pass rusher in the draft goes in the top three picks. He didn't this year, all right?
Yeah.
He's got questions. So with Leatu is an interesting character because usually when a guy gets drafted high in the first round, but you're not quite sure about him, how his game will transfer to the NFL, a lot of times it's guys who are freakish physical athletes, but they didn't necessarily produce in college. Because most of the best pass rushers, edge rushers, are physical freaks. Leatu's different in that he produced in college, but he's not a physical freak whatsoever.
No.
He's kind of an average athlete in a lot of ways, but he's incredibly polished with his pass rush moves. He's got a very deep arsenal of moves, and he's very polished with all of them. So there aren't a lot of guys like that end up actually being elite pass rushers in the NFL. And he doesn't really, in college, he showed that he didn't really have a lot of actual power. It was all finesse and technique and everything like that. So I wondered, okay, how's this going to transfer to the NFL? Mm-hmm. He showed some actual power, and he showed that he's got a little bit of a different game, I think, versus the Broncos starting left tackle Garrett Bowles in that game. So I was intrigued by that. But I still think when he goes up against Laremy Tunsil,
yeah,
all the Mr. Miyagi stuff, it doesn't work versus Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil is Mr. Miyagi. Laremy Tunsil, I think, is going to tweak Latu's nose in this game. And I'm excited about it because it's early in the season and people are getting excited about some of the good stuff that Latu did in this last preseason game. I think he gets his nose tweaked versus
Genius pull.
Yeah.
That was from the first scene of Karate Kid 2. That wasn't even in the original there where he was about to kill John Kreese.
Oh, that's right. That was in the first scene.
It
was like the epilogue
yes.
to the first movie, wasn't it?
I forgot that it wasn't in the first movie. And tweaked his nose. Yeah. So that's what Laramie's going to do to Leatu Leatu. Now I'm getting the visual of that, and it's making me laugh. Do we have more trash talk here? Do we have some Zaire Franklin?
Oh, yeah.
Franklin?
Just to stoke everybody's memory.
Yeah.
This was Zaire Franklin, the linebacker for the Colts, on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long, talking about the run-in that he and CJ had at the Super Bowl.
But CJ, he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me. I'm not going to lie to you. I love CJ, man. I support all our young brothers at quarterback. But CJ, he didn't say a lot of wild stuff to me in our run-ins, you know, at the Super Bowl. I need to see that boy again.
What'd he say?
We were talking, and he was, you know, how the Super Bowl is at Radio Row. You know, it's big, all that stuff going on. So he had the XM radio right before me. He was on there talking about how he cooked the Colts in both games. And I was just, I saw him, and I pulled him aside, and I was like, you know, when you play Anthony, it was like 28-7 and like, the second quarter, we were kind of blowing you out. Yeah, you threw for 300 yards, but...
That's not a cooking.
Yeah, and he was like, bro, I ain't cook you. And I'm like, look, if that's what you consider a cooking with the loss, I mean, congratulations. And, you know, and then I have to remind him as well that he's never beaten Anthony.
Oh! I love this. You're a psychological warfare guy.
you know who would have considered 385 yards passing in a double-digit loss a cooking of the other team?
Don't say it.
Deshaun Watson.
I know.
He would have considered that a cookie. Deshaun had a good 2020, according to Deshaun.
Franklin's actually got a point about the, you know, playing from a healthy deficit early in the game. That's where we, after that game, we were all saying, like, knowing that you sound like the extreme homer when you're giving credit for a quarterback in a come-from-behind fashion or playing at a deficit. CJ did some really good things in that game that were like elevated above what normal rookies do, and yet it's hard to really give full credit to it because of that situation. The part about Zaire Franklin pointing out that he's never beat Anthony Richardson, that's the trash talk I was happy to hear because let's call it what it is. This is first-round draft pick versus first-round draft pick.
And that'll
hit. And the Colts acting like that was exactly the way they wanted it to go in the draft 2 years ago.
That'll hit with CJ, too. That's what'll connect with CJ. You know what? Now that I think about it, The three quarterbacks taken in the top four of that draft, CJ's 0-2. He lost to Bryce Young also last
That's
year.
Right. Oh, good
yeah,
point. Good
yeah,
point.
Just kind of a, a kind of a under like under the radar because of all the other amazing things that happened with CJ. That's just sort of it's like a pimple that CJ has like on his shoulder blade or something. Like you only ever see it if he takes his shirt off. You know, like mm-hmm. it's not something that's really front and center because all the other great things he did were so great. But yeah, man, he's 0-2 right now against his he's undefeated against Will Levis, and I think that's going to continue. Will Levis and his satirical mayonnaise cologne commercials that have been dropping of late. Yeah.
That was actually a pretty good fake cologne commercial, I thought.
Whatever.
Hellman's mayonnaise. They did it like it was a cologne commercial, and that was good, except that we know that Will Levis, one of the question marks about him was, like, is this guy a little too caught up in the Hollywood side of being an NFL quarterback? And I feel like this was almost too good a production. I feel like he got in deep on it and deep in the notes on this one.
Hey, before we dig a little bit more into the AFC South here, can I do an acknowledgement here real quick?
Yes.
I want to acknowledge Kay Adams.
Acknowledge me.
Oh, no.
She's okay. been getting a lot of content for us lately.
It's treachery is what she's been
doing.
What
are you talking about? She's treachery. Been delivering a bunch of really good stuff to us lately.
Yeah, but now I watch her. So she came into the Texans camp, and she did a bunch of great interviews, and she was gushing over C.J. Stroud, or gushing over D'Amico Ryans, and gushing over Nico Collins, and telling them how great they were. And then I see her 2 days later doing the same thing to another team. And now I'm seeing
she's
it
just
with the
going
Colts.
To all the bars. And
Is Daniel Jones aware of how much you're gushing over these people? She's in a relationship with Daniel Jones, apparently.
According to TMZ, yeah, she is.
TMZ is usually pretty accurate.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's right. I'm not downgrading TMZ. TMZ is usually pretty on point with all this stuff. So
makes me wonder how much she really felt all those complimentary things she was dishing out to the Texans
Could
players.
Could you, like, Daniel Jones, be weird to date somebody whose eyes are, like, bug-eyed all the time like that? You know what I mean? I think Daniel Jones closes
you think
his
he's
eyes.
He's definitely the guy that, like, that keeps his eyes open while he's kissing
yes,
a girl.
Yes, I was just going to say.
She opens her eyes and she's like, ah!
Yes, that's exactly. Dude, we've been doing a show together too long. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, do you think Daniel Jones closes his eyes when he kisses her? Does she open her eyes and get freaked out?
She's like, in her mind, she's like, oh, this is such a tender moment.
It's like even in the dark, like his eyes show up like the beginning of Scooby-Doo where all the ghouls are there. Just these eyes in the dark.
I feel like Daniel Jones would call up and just with casual, just casually, you know, mention that he knows the whereabouts of her pets at all times. Just so you know, I know exactly where your rabbit is. Okay. Just so you know, I know you're out on the road a lot talking to all these other guys.
Right.
I know exactly how to get in your house and where to find your
animals. Where your rabbit is, and it's going to wind up in a boiling pot. All right. So Kay Adams for you is a little, she's not a one love person. We thought she was in love with the Texans. It turns out she's in love with all 32 teams.
Yeah. She's in love with whoever she's interviewing.
She's got one in every port. Yeah.
She doesn't love the one she's with. She loves the one she's with right now.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
She can't be with Daniel Jones. She's going to have
Good way to put it. Text message from Riser. Seems like the whole division is becoming bitter. Now, see, this is where I don't know. This is where I don't know if he truly means what he texted or if that's just a bad voice to text. And he said the whole division is becoming better. I think both can be true, though. I think
both can be true. Yeah. The more, the better. The more better, the more bitter.
There you
go. That's what they all say back in the day. Yeah. They've never said that. But yeah, the more, the better the teams become, and if the AFC South can elevate, I'm caught in a quandary here. It's kind of like I am with Leatu Leatu, the pass rusher there for the Colts. I really love that kid. Like he basically. The kid wasn't being cleared by his doctors at, was it Oregon? Is that where he started
where he started out.
He started out at Oregon, UCLA.
I think
and
you're
then
right.
the doctor wouldn't clear him, so he basically went doctor shopping for a doctor who would clear him because he had a neck injury where he thought he might never play football again. And the UCLA doctor was like, yeah, cool, whatever. I work with Hollywood stars. And he played. So like he almost thought he was never going to be able to play football again. He worked his butt off at... He worked his butt. You know, he actually watched James Harden film in creating a Eurostep. Yeah. He was so I don't know if I like that or I loathe it, but I like that kid a lot, and yet I have a blood oath to hate him because he's a Colts player. I am in a weird bind where I would really love it if Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, and even Will Levis, who I'm most pessimistic about as a player, if all those guys actually ended up being really good, it would make the AFC South a hell of a fun division.
Absolutely.
And we get ignored a lot. We don't get the love and attention on a general scale in the AFC South. You know, remember back when Thursday Night Football was where they parked all the bad games?
I do.
It was like the AFC South of the week game for a while.
Yes.
You know,
like our own network.
So I'm torn. I want those guys to be good, but I want the Texans to be so good that it doesn't matter.
Washington is where Latu started
his Washington,
career.
Washington, right, okay.
Yep, Washington.
That's not a retracted ding because I was openly didn't know. I didn't, like, just subconsciously screw up. That's just my general ignorance. I'll ding ignorance. There we go.
Right, there
as
you
long
go.
As I own the ignorance.
You owned it, man.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
You owned it. Hey, so as long as we're talking about the AFC South, and you're pretty good at conjuring up some good, solid, old American hatred for opponents here.
Yeah.
Who do we hate the most right now? The Colts, the Titans, or the Jaguars?
Colts.
Colts still?
Yeah, it's okay. Always the Colts.
Always the Colts, okay.
Yeah, I think it's just there's too many memories. Part of it is this, my bind that I'm in. Part of it is just the memories of not being able to beat Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And, man, it is just something with their stupid white uniforms. It was so annoying to lose to... It was like getting beat up by an Annapolis cadet or something, a midshipman, whatever you call them.
Why are their white uniforms stupid?
Because they're just too, like... pretty and schoolboyish. Okay. It just they're goody goods.
Yeah.
So it was always frustrating to lose to the Colts because remember their wide receivers, their whole wide receivers, as lethal as they were, they did not want to get hit or touched.
That's
they
true.
Would dive. They would dive to the ground as soon as there was a hint of contact, and yet you couldn't say anything about it because they were beating the snot out of you. That part of it, the memories of that make me want Anthony Richardson to be a good quarterback. So in some ways, they can kind of defeat the ghost of the Peyton Manning Colts.
That's a great point. And I mean, right now, the Texan wide receivers are the opposite of that. Like Nico Collins leads the league in broken tackles for a wide receiver. Tank Dell, breaks his leg because he decides to go block guys twice his size.
Well, that was the other side of the equation with their pretty white uniforms, was they had a defense that was built to rush the passer for all those years but couldn't stop the run.
Yeah.
They were a pretty defense.
Yeah.
You know? They weren't a genuinely ferocious defense. They went out and they got some old school lead pipe carrying dudes that turned them into a Super Bowl caliber defense. But yeah, that was it always felt like they were a finesse team, and yet you can't beat the finesse team. What's that make you?
Colts.
You're a guy who's getting beat up by a fancy lad who went to an expensive prep school.
So,
you know, it just...
For you, this is very personal. The Colts one feels like it's very... And I'm asking your opinion, so that's your opinion on it. If you had asked Texan fans, who do you think would win that poll? Colts, Titans, Jets.
I think probably more personal grudges against the Titans.
Yeah, it's a Houston thing,
the history
right?
of the team and the Columbia Blue and all of that.
Amy Adams, Strunk.
The part of the thing, too, is like the citizens of Tennessee, I'm more... I pity them. I pity them for being the inbred weirdos that they are, but it's not their fault. You can only do so much with chromosomes in a limited pool. I feel like the people of Indiana are intentionally ignorant. I feel like their cousin marriages are planned out, and their illiteracy is one that they take pride in more so than anything.
Okay.
I just have actual venom in my heart for the citizens of Indiana more so than the Tennesseans.
That's very clear, yeah. And the Jags, do you think? I mean, I used to play for the Jags, so you feel a different way about them than maybe the average Houstonian does, obviously. But I think even the average Houstonian and the Jags are a distant third behind these other two, right? Probably, you think?
Yeah. The Jags have had the least overall team success as a franchise, too. And have been down hard longer and for longer stretches recently than the other two teams have. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, the Colts and the Titans have specific people you can point to.
Yeah, who's the most hated Jaguar?
That's where I was going with this.
Yeah, I can't even remember. I can look back to, like the Colts, when I saw Taylor Lewan the other day. I was like, hey, man, just so you know, I hated you a lot.
You mean the Titans. You said
Damn
Colts.
It.
Yeah, you mean Titans.
Damn it.
That's okay.
So, the Titans.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Lewan, I hated him. I had a blood oath against him, which I told him a few weeks ago.
Yep.
But when he was a player, I hated him. And I can't think of anybody.
Finnegan with the Titans.
Yeah,
The Colts, any number of guys on the Colts.
Texan listeners, who am I missing from the Jaguars? I just can't remember a really despised player for the Jaguars that the Texans fans would really hate.
Text message. Loved Kay Adams on Good Morning Football, but hate watching her interviews. She gives off a creepy fangirl vibe.
Texans are this fun young team.
Okay, that's Peter Schrager.
That was a creepy fanboy vibe. Was he talking about the Texans?
Yes.
Texans are this fun young team.
He's like the creepy old guy on The Family Guy.
Dude.
Hey, Texans. Why don't you come over and mow the lawn with your shirt off, Texans?
It is. One more time, Ben.
Texans are this fun young team.
Yeah, man, he's into the Texans.
Hey, Texans, you did a good job delivering the paper the other day.
Do you agree with this texter that she gives off a creepy fangirl vibe? I think she does a good job.
I don't think it comes off creepy. I think she just brushes up against the line of professionalism with a kind of a flirty vibe.
Yep.
But she doesn't do it. It's like a fun flirtatiousness, you know? It's not like a lusting over this dude flirtatiousness. I think she's just got a flirty vibe.
Yeah.
And in the format that she's in, I think it's okay. I don't look at it as unprofessional.
Yeah, she's not a journalist. Like, she's an entertainer, you know? Like, she's there to get interviews that inform and entertain. Yeah.
Now, dating Daniel Jones is probably... I know there are a lot of female sports media members who have just a firm rule, like never to date
athletes.
But I don't know. I don't know what the ethics of all that are. But
no, I don't either. The lines are blurred on everything these days.
I guess I'll have to go back and watch. I'm sure she's interviewed him at some point.
She did a week. This week she interviewed Daniel Jones.
There's probably already 200 deep dive analyses into that interview already.
Good. It saves me from having to do it. I can just go watch on YouTube. Okay, here we go. Do these names... I'm going to pass these names through the Seth Payne Jaguar hate filter, and you tell me if these pass. These are texts coming in from listeners. The great David Garrard.
Garrard. Grard is that classic case, man. Remember, when he would come in as a backup, you'd look at him and you'd say, why is this guy not starting?
He's fitzy. But he's fitzy.
As soon as they gave him the job, it was, yeah, he turned into a pumpkin. That's a really good comparison. They're different types of players, but yes, yeah, you had that fitzy feel to him. You're like, you see the upside, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, this is the guy. And then he just couldn't handle the pressure maybe of being the full-time
Yes,
guy.
He is to Jacksonville what Fitzy was to Buffalo okay. and the Jets, yeah.
So no animosity there.
No. Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, you know that one? Okay, that's a great pull. But the problem with Jalen Ramsey was that Jalen Ramsey would talk smack about anybody and everybody, including his own quarterback at times.
Yep.
Remember when he didn't put... I can't remember who the quarterback was at the time. It was
might have been Bortles.
I think it was Bortles.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like power ranked the best quarterbacks and Bortles was left out of like
probably
the top
right.
10. I know. Well, he was very, very honest.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Jalen Ramsey would gush about DeAndre Hopkins and he was advocating for Deshaun Watson to be the starter. They share an agent, those two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ramsey, I was always torn because there's so many things about him to dislike if you're an opposing fan, and yet the one team that he chose not to smack talk about was the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a great player too. Like I have less of a capacity to truly hate a player that gets under your skin if he is freaking good. Like Jalen Ramsey might be a Hall of Famer, you know? Like Cortland Finnegan is an annoying little turd, you know? Like it's Finnegan was a decent player, but he wasn't Jalen Ramsey, you know?
This will be the football nerdy thing that angered me about Jalen Ramsey more so than anybody else. And I think this is when he was on the Jaguars that he said this. Like, Jalen Ramsey does not like to play the run. He turns down contact.
Yes.
Like, and he's a bigger guy, too, you know, which is annoying. But so he was one time talking smack about Gronk. So he's talking smack about Gronk. Again, he would talk about smack about everybody except the Texans. And he would say, like, no, I don't think he's that good. All you have to do is put a corner on him, and he's shut down. Like, yeah, that's the whole point, Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
It's like, if you bring a corner in to cover Rob Gronkowski, he's as good a blocker as an offensive tackle. They're going to run all over you.
Yep.
That's the whole dynamic with it. So that always annoyed me about him. But I think the Jaguar that Texans fans might have the own animosity in isn't qualified for this competition because they dislike Tony Boselli based on the fact that he never actually suited up for the Texans.
Yeah, they don't hate him as a Jaguar. They hate him as an injured Texan.
They hate him as a what could have been for the Texans. Yeah,
Boselli's name's on here a couple times. I'll tell you the one that's on here the most so far is Maurice Jones-Drew.
Okay.
And I think and people are explaining it's not even Maurice Jones-Drew. It's because he was kind of the face of the Jags when the Texans just couldn't be. There's a period of time where the Jags had the Texans' number, and Maurice Jones-Drew was kind of the face of that era of Jags football, is what I'm gathering from the text. For example, those MJD Jags teams were hated. They've got MJD with Garrard and Fred Taylor. Garrard from the Jags or MJD, that's just because that's when we couldn't beat them. Those are texts that we're getting right now.
Yeah, so, it was... that's probably it. So it's hard, too, because Maurice Jones-Drew is such a likable person.
Yeah, yeah.
He's even more likable now because he's got that retired gymnast look about him. Or because he's tiny. He's
not that tiny.
If he gains any weight at all, you see all of it. And so now he's got a kind of this plump, pleasant demeanor.
Yeah.
He has always had a pleasant demeanor.
Sure.
But now it's kind of a plump and pleasant demeanor. It's hard for me to hate Maurice Jones-Drew.
No, he's not.
The other thing about the Jaguars, this is where my personal bias comes into it. Like, as a player, when I was with the Texans, I hated the Jaguars because they were the team that let me go. So but we had a lot of former Jaguars on the team. We had Zach Wiegert, we had Gary Walker.
Yeah.
We had a few guys, and they were one of the teams early on that we had success against.
Okay.
So while the rest of the league was beating us down, we actually had a nice run against the Jaguars early on, and. In my mind, I never looked at them as kind of the big brothers or anything. But as I got away from my career, I grew less animosity towards the Jaguars.
I'm really curious about that. So how did that play out, like the week leading up to the game, or the day leading up to the game, or even in the locker room before the game with you guys who were former Jags who maybe felt like jilted Jaguars? Like, is it something that came up? Did you guys were you guys getting hyped up?
The only The only time I remember it coming up was, it was really cool. I remember we were playing the Jaguars, and it was a close game at the half. And I remember Jason Simmons, I'm not messing this name up. He was a defensive back named Jason Simmons for the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
He said something right before we went out, and he said something like, "Hey, guys, you know, I know there's a few guys in this room that this would mean a lot to. Let's do this. Let's do this for these guys." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, Jason. You're talking about me. Oh, okay, cool." It was like, I don't know. It was those little moments stick out. Yeah.
No, I get that.
Because Jason was an awesome dude, too.
He had your back.
Yeah, Jason's got my back.
He had your back. I think that's awesome. That's a great story.
It was that foxhole mentality. Yeah. It was really cool.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
Then I wrote him a letter in longhand after the words to thank him.
No, handwritten,
I did
not. Thank you.
I thought about it, but I didn't.
Yeah. You left it as a tent.
I actually
in his
never
locker.
Mentioned it out loud because I'm a guy. Damn it!
Right? Is that the first time you've ever?
I'll talk
mentioned
about
it?
It on my podcast, but I'm not going to say it to your face.
That's funny. Okay, text message, dude. You're an idiot. Go Colts. Peyton is one of the most successful QBs ever. Indiana, watch your mouth. Get a mirror and watch your mouth. Or are you smart enough not to? I doubt it. Love the show, but not you now. I love our listeners.
Go great. Canoodle with your cousin. There you go. Like, he's doing that. Texted from my iPhone while spooning my cousin.
That's right.
Actually, his cousin probably wrote it for him. That dude can't write.
That's a great text.
Kiss your cousin's thumbs and thank her for texting. Thank her for texting that in for you.
Oh, my God. That's what he says. FYI, I married a Texas lady. That same texter married a Texas lady. Someone says Cecil Shorts had a big game as a Jag against Houston. He did. He threw a touchdown pass.
I hate Cecil.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Whatever happened to that guy?
I hate you, Cecil Shorts.
Is there a person?
Yeah, that's the problem. Some of the guys that could be most hated are also eminently likable.
Dude.
Cecil's like one of the most incredibly likable people I've ever come across.
He
you know?
Might be the most likable person I've ever met, like Cecil Shorts.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and then also, obviously, he played for the Texans afterwards.
That's
but
right.
Maurice Jones-Drew, same thing. Way too likable.
Yeah. Okay. Someone is pointing out that the most hateable Jag might not even be a Jag. Ben, get the hotkeys ready. Jags lady.
And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
How can you hate Jags lady?
You can't. Nobody hates Jags.
You're talking
lady.
About Texter?
Certainly not.
Right.
I made the mistake of just letting somebody told me the backstory about Jags lady, and now I really can't hate her. She's a. I thought she was just a fun drunk lady, but yeah, she's
a. Lot going on.
She's a troubled drunk lady. Yeah,
a lot going on. People love weighing in on hatred, but I've yet to get a really great example. There's nothing that the Jags have that matches up with the most hated Colts and the most hated Titans. Not even
okay.
Close.
This is our project over the weekend.
Okay.
Ben, put this in the Google Doc of weekend projects.
Weekend projects.
We got to figure out which current Jaguar we need to hate.
Okay.
And then hate him with a ferocity unknown to man.
Yes.
Okay.
Ferocity of 1,000 white hot suns. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Texans back at practice today, 10:45. Keep it tuned here to Sports Radio 610 all day long. I'll probably be calling in the loop with a little update from practice. Texans got some clarity yesterday on one of the QB battles that will affect their schedule. So we've got that coming up for you next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
People already doing our work for us on the text page. Current Jag I hate, Trevor Lawrence. His hair makes him look like the chick in the Netflix movie Tall Girl. I'm not a big Trevor Lawrence fan, but I like. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, there's a balance. There's somewhere you need to be. There's a certain level of performance where you're so good that I can't hate you. Like, I don't hate Peyton Manning. Like, he's just Hall of Fame. And yet, there's a level of there's a level of underperformance that I just can't hate you because you're not worth hating yet. You got to be in that meaty part of the curve. You
if
know?
Trevor Lawrence were really good and if he were a little bit more trash talky
obnoxious,
or something,
yeah.
If he were obnoxious, he would be eminently hateable because of his long flowing locks.
Yeah.
And it's not just long hair. It's not like long hair like a Viking or anything. He looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like one of those fancy princes from the Renaissance. You know, like you should be wearing a big poofy shirt and one of those goofy hats with his hair coming underneath.
Yes.
They'd call him like the Bonnie Prince or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
And tights.
That's what's really annoying about him.
Okay.
Taxation without representation.
Right,
that's what's really annoying about him.
I'm starting to get there now.
Abigail on the YouTube chat, you guys can watch the show on YouTube. It's a great way to take in the show if you're trying to, you know, do it at work or something. She brings up the most hated thing about the Jaguars might not be an individual player itself, but the Duval.
Yeah, that's bad.
The Duval chant. That doesn't, when you're losing to the Jaguars and you hear that Duval, that gets you. That sticks it right in your ribs.
It's a little like the Oakland A's where you're like, okay, I mean, they're a crappy team in our division. And I hate them because they're in our division, but I can't name anybody in particular I really hate. But you know what I hate? Those damn drums. The drums that they play in the Coliseum there. Like, those are as annoying to me, at least, as the Duval chant is.
I always kind of liked the drums.
Yeah. Not for the whole game. They play them all game long.
I know. I kind of like them. You know how that started was the A's, like, when the A's came into the league, they had an owner who was the exact opposite of their current one, which is, like, a really lovable guy that just said, hey, we're going to make this like a minor league environment and just, yeah, we'll do a whole bunch of goofy stuff and make it a party atmosphere.
Right.
That's why for A's fans especially, it's especially once you, when you got, you go from having this attitude for years of just being like the fun-loving, hey, we're going to do it differently type, to just now an owner that just doesn't give a damn. It's hard for him.
No, now I know. You're right. Yeah, they went from that guy to an owner who's like, I'm going to steal the team from you and bring it to Vegas. See ya. J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings rookie quarterback, who, like a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, had a really nice debut in the preseason. Like, literally, of the six guys that got drafted in the top 12, five of them had really solid games. It's regular preseason, so we'll see what happens. But one thing we know, we will not see J.J. McCarthy for the rest of the preseason, possibly not the regular season either. Torn meniscus in his knee, so they don't know yet if they're going to go. There's two treatments for the meniscus without getting too technical, because I can't. One is a shaving of the meniscus, which gets you back in like a month and a half.
Yeah, you just snip it.
Yeah, the other is a repair of the meniscus, which would knock him out for the entire season. They don't know which it's going to be yet.
Yeah, repair of the meniscus, you got to be like non-weight bearing for a long time, and it's dicey. Yeah, with the meniscus, it could go a million different directions. Sometimes they go in, they snip it, and you're right back out. And some guys are freakishly fast to recover from it.
Yep.
Others, you just don't know, and it's just it just swells up sometimes.
Safe to say he will not play against the Houston Texans in week three, barring injury. This will be a Sam Darnold joint that the Texans will face in week three. And I was happy about this. I'm perfectly fine facing the known of Sam Darnold. I know what Sam Darnold is. The unknown of J.J. McCarthy, especially after how he looked in his first preseason game, I'm like, oh, this feels like one of those games where you get a rookie coming in here and he's on one after a couple weeks of his rookie year.
There's a little bit of irony here in that as we talk about the promising performances of all these rookie quarterbacks, Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson are perhaps the most notorious for looking awesome in the preseason, their rookie year, versus vanilla coverages and making circus throws. Like, oh my God, look at what we have in this guy. So yeah, you have to take every preseason performance with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But so J.J. McCarthy looked good, but who knows what he might have been.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose sleep over Sam Darnold. I'm going to start thinking about, if this Texans defense can be as opportunistic as it looks on paper, then this might be a banner day for the Texans defense.
Did you see the video that surfaced yesterday of Sam Darnold?
No.
He threw a pick six in practice.
Oh, yes, I did see this. Yes.
Went
yes.
down to his knees while the play is still going on. He's got his hand on his helmet, like bent over, and there's guys rushing by him like he's in the middle of a freeway or something like that.
Great mental toughness there, Sam. way to brush off the egregious error. I was seeing ghosts.
Dude, I mean, you combine that with Yeah, remember that? I was seeing
yeah,
quotes.
Yeah.
You combine that with the J.J. McCarthy news, and Texan fans were feasting on that video yesterday. They're like, man, what's Sting and Petrie going to do here? Sting and Kamari. It was really, really funny. J.J. McCarthy's message to Viking fans, love you, Viking Nation. I'll be back in no time. Amor fati. Amor fati, which I suppose is Latin. It's Latin for love one's fate. So all I guess, right. Is this his way of saying, like, this is all sort of God's plan, I guess, that I get my knee shredded?
Yeah, I guess. What does it mean, literally?
Love one's fate. Amor fati.
Love one's fate. Yeah, just embrace, you know. Okay, good.
Did you tweet that out after any of your injuries back in the...
No, I stayed away from Latin.
Yeah.
On platforms that hadn't been invented
yet. I love how your answer wasn't, hey, dummy, there was no Twitter back then. I stayed away from Latin. Hey, Gerard Mayo met with the media yesterday. They've got some practices coming up with the, forget who they're practicing with. They've got some joint practices coming up, the Patriots do. This is, I think it's actually with the Rams, who the Texans have a joint practice with next week as well. But Gerard Mayo, this was his solution. We saw a bleep load of fights between the Giants and the Lions last week in joint practices, like 10 fights. Here's Gerard Mayo's solution for preventing fights for the Patriots when they get into their joint practices.
You don't fight in a real game. When you fight in a real game, you get fined, you get kicked out. It's the same thing here. And look, my message to the players, if you get in a fight out here, if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. And so that's kind of my mindset with that.
Eagles. They're joint practicing with the Eagles. That's who they're with.
That's along the lines of what D'Amico said too, after a couple of the dust ups with the Texans, that look, you do that in a game, we want to practice in game like conditions, and you got to know how to just throttle down the smack talk a little bit. The other thing about it in practice though is that in a game, when somebody does something illegal, it gets flagged, and in practice it does, but the flag doesn't really hurt. So like, what always happens is, and we saw this with the Texans, there's some self-policing that goes on, and sometimes the fights are, it's a way of policing what's going, okay, you're going to hit our guy over the middle, like, yeah, I know this is a meaningless practice flag, but you're not going to get that again.
Yeah.
So you got to show that you're not going to get punked. That's where it gets tough, especially when you're facing another team. You know what it made me think of, Sean? You talk about confrontations and game-like situations. That linebacker for the Broncos that got up in CJ's face.
Singleton
got up in CJ's face. Offensive lineman, well, four of the offensive linemen, came to CJ's support, ran up on him, and that ended up, Singleton kind of single-handedly lost the game for the Broncos in some regards, because he had another bad play in that game, too. He was the one that blitzed Anthony Richardson on one of his errant throws in the preseason game, and it gave me a warm fuzzy, because I was like, yeah, I remember that guy. I remember when the Texans did the right thing, and CJ didn't do anything. He just stood his ground, kind of headbutted Singleton.
He didn't walk away. He stood his ground, yeah.
The Broncos ended up getting flagged for it, and it was a costly penalty. That was a field goal situation that turned into a touchdown, if I recall correctly.
Might have been.
Took away a third down stop or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, that's the perfect example right there of, like, in a game, You gotta remember where the line is, and let the other team be the one that loses their heads.
And unlike the fighting in practice, which D'Amico, after that practice, said he did not like, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
After that Bronco game, he freaking loved that. He loved that CJ went and got back in sync. You know, that CJ didn't walk away. He stood his ground.
He loved that four of the five offensive linemen came to support, too.
Yes. Yeah, the four of the five, yes, came to CJ's defense. So D'Amico loved that. Like, he loved the fieriness of his team within the framework of things that aren't hurting the team in down-and-distance situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right, keep texting in, 713-572-4610. Weekend project is easy. T. Lawrence and his Prince Charming of Shrek hair. That's probably where you're getting it from. Prince Charming from Shrek, I think, has long hair like that. So that may be like a subconscious kind of thing going on with you there.
It's just a bad look on him, man. I like it when a dude's got good long hair and everything, like a Brooks Reed style or whatever. But he's got a lot. Look, I've got a long face, and I know what you can and can't do. the long hair accentuates your long face, and it makes it. It's an unsettling appearance. It's unsettling to look at.
There's a hilarious meme going around. I think it's been going around for a while, but it popped up again on my Twitter feed this weekend, where they've got a picture of Trevor Lawrence on the left side. And then they've got on the right side, you got to be a Sopranos fan to know what we're talking about here. But remember that season of The Sopranos where Carmella, Tony's wife, kind of had a thing for Furio?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And the meme is that Trevor Lawrence is Carmella and Furio's illegitimate son. Because
he does have a look. They had that same look about him.
He's Furio with a blonde wig on, basically, is what he is. Yeah.
Yeah, Furio had the same thing going. Felt like the guy it was holding me back from really believing that he was the psychopathic killer that he was.
Yeah, he had the long hair too.
Make out with her at one point?
No.
They
no.
came really close.
Yeah,
she made out with the contractor. That
yes,
poor dude.
That's what you're thinking.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kids, if you've never seen The Sopranos, just know that this poor contractor got almost seduced by a mob boss's wife.
Yes.
And
he was terrified.
As he should. I would have moved away, man.
Oh yeah.
I would have been Lithuanian within a week. I would have had a fake passport and whatever it took. I would have had my kids and myself out of there.
All right. The Texans practiced in the brutal heat yesterday. D'Amico Ryans explained why, and I've got some observations, had eyes on a few things. I saw something yesterday that I would put up against any previous Texans practice that I've seen in my 18 years of covering the team. We will do that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.